Up next, Rubel Chandy joins us. We're going to talk about his work, 90 Days to Life, A Journey from Turmoil to Triumph, How to Change Your Life. So get ready. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Global entrepreneur Rubel Chandy is the author of this international best-selling book on conscious business strategies. It's called 90 Days to Life, A Journey from Turmoil to Triumph. It's about him, creator of the online business accelerator workshops. Many Eastern wisdom and Western know-how, Rubel built several tremendously successful multi-seven-figure businesses before retiring at the old age of 38 to pursue his passion for helping businesses accelerate growth using the same principles and strategies that propelled his own success in his own life. Rubel, welcome to the program.
George, thanks for having me.
My pleasure, indeed. And how did you come upon these concepts to turn your life around?
So at the age of 90, George, I was struggling to manage our finances in our family. We had $30,000 debt, and I was finishing, that was my last year of college, and I had to figure it out. I had to figure out how to move forward. If I get a job at the time in India, which was 96, 97, mm-hmm. I would get $80 per month, and that was not enough to pay, nearly enough to pay for the loan, pay to the loan shark who basically owned my house. So I thought if I start a business, maybe I'm going to succeed. Fast forward 5 years later, I started two businesses, failed in both of them, and had $60,000 debt by the age of 24.
Wow.
So I basically doubled my debt in like 5 years. That was my major accomplishment. And then what happened, George, was I decided I'm not going to go back because my life is so precious for me. So I needed to figure it out. So I studied business. So I got mentored by people, and I read like hundreds of books on several topics, and I dedicated every time I hit a bottleneck, I go study about it. And so I studied business, marketing, sales, and operations, and everything in between, and still I did not succeed. And at the last point, I realized that it's great to have all these skill sets, but what really matters, George, is being aligned with who I am. My soul is the direction that I'm going, and when my body and my mind is aligned to that, everything falls into place. Of course, I need to have the skills, but the skills were secondary in comparison with the alignment piece.
Was there a time, Rubel? Was there ever a time you were going to just give it all up and just walk away from everything?
Probably 1,000 times, yeah.
But something kept bringing you back, didn't it?
Yes, because I get pushed and by life for let's say myself, and something is not working. I'm like, you know what? I fall down. You know, I'm injured. I'm like, maybe I cannot move forward. This is it. I'm done. 5 minutes later, 1 hour later, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to give up. You know, I'm going to go forward. And I said, I'm going to go forward until it starts working for me.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with failure if you learn from your mistakes.
In fact, yes. In fact, it's not nothing wrong. If I were to take one more step, you need to have in certain levels in business compared to a job where you are 100% successful because you have you get your paycheck no matter what, 90% of the time. In business, if you try 5 things, based on my own experience and based on my clients' data when I work with people in 14 different countries, is that when you try 5 things, one of them will work. What are the rest of the things? They are learning. And you learn the most from your supposed failures, and the one victory that you have that makes you the most money.
What was that moment, Rubel, that turning point for you when you knew this is starting to work?
That moment was life pushed me, and I went through uncertainty. So we will talk about the spiritual side of it in a second. Right, there was a point in my life, when you have a small problem and you kind of fight that, and then a bigger problem, you fight that, and a bigger problem, and you fight that. You reach a point, the problems become unbearable. Like, you reach a point, it goes beyond the scale. Imagine there was a scale, and then you put something on a scale, the scale breaks. And that moment is when you break or the scale break. Right? That is the moment that happened to me. And at that point, when I said, you know what, this is happening, and I'm going to break the scale, and then my mind said, you know what, I give up. I'm not going to fight with this guy anymore. Let me find somebody else.
Yeah.
That moment, I became free. I'm like, you know what, I could move forward. And that was a moment that I felt the freedom.
What was that first successful business that you created?
So at the age of 27, we started, 26, 27, we started an Air Force contracting company for U.S. Air Force. We started a cleaning company, a general contracting company. The first contract that we got was a cleaning contract. That was a $500,000 contract for an Air Force base in Middle East. And we started this business, you know, and it's a really unique place, George, to work because in order for you to get inside a U.S. Air Force base, there are security protocols.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Long wait, 3 hours. Actually, like, you would not believe this, almost 2 to 2.5 hours of wait to get in, and then around 2 hours of wait to get out. That's like almost 4 hours gone already, right? And sometimes you try to get in, and 2.5 hours later, there might be a security issue. People will go back. So that's the Air Force contract in some of the areas, in unsafe areas in Middle East. So we started with that, and that company grew into a multi-million-dollar company. I sold my share to my partners, and then I started my next company.
90 Days to Life is the name of the book. Rubel, tell us about the title.
90 Days to Life, George, is a contract between two people. One woman is about to give up on her life, just like the complete uncertainty that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm done with this life. I don't want to move forward anymore. And she's going to a beach, and she's like, you know what, I'm going to end my life here. And she meets a person, and then she has a conversation, an argument with this person, and she finally commits to live for 90 more days of life if this person could guide her how to live a life and be successful in business. So it's a full fictional story of a person, everything that I learned for the last 25 years, it's packaged into this simple story that anybody third grade to fifth grade can read and understand everything that they need to learn about business through this simple story.
Did you go through moments of depression, Rubel, as well, as so many people do?
Yes, I did.
And
so,
you pulled yourself out of it, obviously.
Yes. So what happens is most people go through, in some capacity, we feel disappointment. And that disappointment, George, converts into our biology, right? Into our biological reaction. So depression is nothing but a chemical change in our body, which is created by a psychological change. So the chemical change is like you don't have probably enough dopamine or other neurotransmitters that is required for you to feel good. And we are creating use of our mind. So there were some points in my life I felt like, oh my gosh, I cannot move forward anymore. But the bottom line is we could talk more about specifics on what we could do. At the same time, your body is the most obvious miracle that most people are missing. Many people, like, for example, for the last 10,000 years of human evolution, has been on the psychology side, the Carl Jung and the Freud and everything. But there is a physical thing that you're holding, which is called body, which is equally miraculous in terms of transforming what you're feeling.
Well, what I liked about your work too, Rubel, is that It's not just about practical business applications. It's about life for people and how to change their lives.
Yes. Yes. In order for us to succeed in the new world order, George, because the world is shifting from a pure selfish, I just need money, I don't care about anything else, economy, to a collective selfishness where we are all, as a community, as a collaborating community, building wealth together model. And in that new model, spirituality is going to be a fundamental principle for business success. That's why I give so much emphasis to what is about to come.
How much of your work has to do with some of the teachings of Mahatma Gandhi and his beliefs?
Mahatma Gandhi's belief has influenced me. I was referring to this yesterday as well, that he said, forgiveness is for the powerful, not for the weak. This is a concept that is completely not understood by most people. I was talking to somebody, and this person was like, you know, this person felt like she was cheated. She felt like, oh my gosh, I have to revenge this person. I have to do something to this person.
Yeah.
And I said, it's good that you want to have that. You want to have a revenge because you're a human being. But let me tell you another way to revenge this person. And she's like, what can you do? Like, you know, I'll give you a solid way. I said, forgive the person. And she's like, how is that a revenge? I said, there are three levels of revenge. The first level is like you do nothing and you're like, oh, I don't know what I could do. The second level is I want to do something to them. The third level is you're so powerful, you don't need to do anything because you could let it go because you are much bigger than that. That's what Gandhi taught, and that's what he lived by, because he believed in a deeper level of forgiveness that fundamentally guided his principles in his nonviolence and everything else that he did. And that is a fundamental principle that guides me as a person.
We should, as a world, be practicing Gandhi's teachings today, don't you think?
Of course.
Maybe it would make a world of difference, to be sure. Now, for people who are trying to get to this level that you got to through trial and error, what are some of the logical steps that people need to take?
Yeah, and before I go into the logical steps, I wanted to talk a few seconds about principles, because we are transitioning from Gandhi into this. Many a times we think that there needs to be a logical step that needs to be taken in order to succeed in business. Even before that, there is a background piece. Each person need to find out what are the guiding principles of your business. So for me, there are fundamental principles, the principles of, you know, having faith in, like, and this might sound like faith. What is faith in business? Faith, business and entrepreneurship is completely about faith. So what does that mean? You have the faith that you could create something that does not exist in the world. That's entrepreneurship, right? Faith is like seeing something that is not seen. So you are seeing something that is not seen in the world, and you're creating that in the world. So that is a fundamental principle that I go by, other than forgiveness and mercy. And another one is like joyful, being able to calibrate to joyfulness. Another thing is like being kind, in advance. When you have $10, it's easy to give $1 from your $10. Right? When you have $10 million, it's not easy to give $1 million. So let's start when we have $10 for being kind to people. Right? So there are seven fundamental principles that I talk about in 90 Days to Life. That's the foundation behind everything that we do in business. Once we have that laid out, George, that's when we go into the strategies for business. In order for a business to succeed, we need to have a solid product. A solid product is something that ideally would customers want to buy without any additional marketing. Peter Drucker talked about, you know, marketing, the best level of marketing. If your product is so good, the product will sell itself without much of a marketing. So you have a world-class product that customers want to buy. So check your business to see, hey, do I have a world-class product? If not, how can I make a world-class product? Or how could I innovate so that I could have a world-class product? And then have a world-class marketing strategy to market that product. And once you have these two pieces, you could actually grow to seven figures. If you want to grow further, you will optimize the marketing and the product for maximum scalability. That's the essence of growing a business.
And what would you do today, Rubel, during COVID, when businesses are closed and shutting down? I mean, how does somebody keep their livelihood going?
Adapt. Let me explain. So world, we are stepping into a new world where uncertainty is the new normal. Like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, our parents, or, you know, 50 years ago, our parents worked the same job and lived their entire life doing the same thing probably.
Yes, they did.
And then they retired. Yeah. But today, like even in the job market, in the next decade, people will have 7 to 16 jobs. They will be switching industries to industries, doing different things in their lifetime. The same way, the world is shifting in entrepreneurship. So what does that mean? It means what is working today might not work tomorrow. So the first thing, George, that as a small entrepreneur that I need to do is understand that it's a changing world. So the COVID is an example of a changing world. It was drastic, it was challenging, and it's a big deal. At the same time, first thing is understand it's a changing world. Once you understand and appreciate that it's a changing world, then you start looking for change. Most people are reacting to change. Now you're like, okay, COVID happened and movie theaters shut down. And because of that shutdown, what happened? Nobody's buying popcorn. How is that affecting the popcorn industry? Okay, and then how is that affecting the agriculture? And how is that affecting the other thing? Now you're not like sitting back and like, oh my gosh, why is this happening to me? You're like stepping up and think, this has happened. Okay, got it. What is next? What is next that is going to happen? And what is next that is going to happen? And how could I build and scale my business and grow my business, adapt my business so that I'm going to be relevant in this new world? That's the game.
And again, you could use these techniques for your own family, your own lifestyle, can't you?
For sure. Because the new world order, like we discussed, George, if you're employed and if you're unemployed, if you are a family person, if you're a homemaker, principles are the same. These principles are going to guide you. In an uncertain world, managing uncertainty effectively is going to be our full-time job now. We have a full-time job of managing uncertainty. Some politicians say something. Some major economic shift is happening. It's all going to be uncertain. The psychological mind will be like, I don't know how to deal with that, where you would step up and say, you know what, I got it. I can handle it. Once you are able to handle uncertainty like that, you can handle your career, your business, life, your relationship, and your spirituality.
Rubel, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and open up the phone lines and give folks an opportunity to ask you a question or two about how to pull yourself up from failure and make it a success. Ruben's website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We are with Rubel Chendri, and his book is called 90 Days to Life. Rubel, where do people get this incredible book?
They get the book on Amazon or anywhere else that they get books. Just search for 90 Days to Life on Google, and you would find the books anywhere you search for.
Super. Before we go to calls, give us some highlights on how you think people should change their life with some of these techniques.
Let's talk about an important technique, rather an important strategy. So most people believe that they are going to get happy when they reach the destination of their choice, whether it is making, let's say, a seven-figure business or becoming a millionaire or having the perfect relationship or becoming the king of the world, whatever it is. what I have seen in my work and my work on psychology and neurology and working with people in 14 different countries is that people who are really successful, they are happy in advance. So it's like there are two options to buy food. You could go to the fast food, you pay in advance, and then you get the whatever food that you are getting. Or you could go to the restaurant, and then you eat the food, and then you pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like a fast food experience. Life is a fast food experience in a sense that you need to pay in advance in order for you to get the food. In other words, we need to manage our state of body and state of mind in advance, the chemicals in our body and the thoughts in our mind, in order for us to succeed in advance, in order for us to succeed.
And isn't some of the challenge and the fun trying to succeed as opposed to getting there? Climbing the mountain is almost more exciting than getting to the top?
Yes. The reason is success is a self-discovery journey. You're discovering yourself. Most people don't realize that, but at the time or as they're traveling through the journey, what is happening is it's a point of self-discovery. The only person that is stopping us from succeeding is us. Our own conditioning, our own beliefs, our own identity, our own values that are conflicted. So as we are traveling this journey, we might have these characters like a horror movie or a James Bond movie, whatever it is, there are characters that show up in front of us. Those are all our own creation for us to make us feel, oh my gosh, that person doesn't want me to succeed. The reality is we are not ready. So the journey is a self-discovery journey, because as you are getting more and more successful in a comprehensive way, you're basically self-discovering you. And you might not like it. You're like, oh my gosh, this is happening. The more drama that you have, that means there is more resistance inside of us to succeed.
And part of the success, too, is not giving up, isn't it?
Yes. And not giving up because, George, because you believe in yourself and you see yourself that way. This is where self-image comes. For example, I believe that I'm worthy of being successful. This is an important piece. Right? Many people, especially on the Western world, because of people being alone and lonely, and might not have the right support from parents, didn't have mom and dad in the family, for whatever reason, we feel more lonely than the Eastern world. Because I'm seeing both sides of the world, right? So the Eastern world is what I call as a cluster society. What is a cluster society? If something happens, everyone has an opinion. I gained weight when I was like 15 years old. Everybody, the entire village will ask you, hey, did you gain weight? And all of a sudden, I want to lose weight, right? But today in the Western world, if somebody asks like that, and it might not be appropriate to ask that way, but the idea is we are far too independent that we lost our self-image. And because of that, George, we might not feel that we deserve to succeed. And feeling that deserving is what keeps us going without giving up. And that deserving is what we need to feel inside in order for us to prolong even after you fail 17 times.
Let's go to the phone calls for you. Mike in Colorado to get us started. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, George. Thank you so much for
sure
taking my call this evening. And Ruble, wow, I really appreciate your work, and I'm really looking forward to reading your book. I had a quick comment and question tonight. So, you know, Ruble, when we talk about having a positive outlook, you know, obviously a lot of people right now, they're going through a lot of different things, and having, you know, a positive outlook is becoming an increasingly harder thing to do. You know, what advice would you give people out there on maintaining a positive outlook on life and really striving for that success? Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Mike. So here is the first thing. We need to look at the reality and see it and appreciate it. So the reality is hard, Mike. The life is challenging at this time for many people. That is the truth. So what I am for, Mike, is intelligent optimism. What is intelligent optimism? Intelligent optimism is you would look at the world and see the world for what it is. There is huge inequality. There is huge challenges financially. Some people are struggling to put food in their mouth or their children's mouth. There are real challenges. So you look at the real challenge and figure out a way to manage your income in some creative way to come up with a solution for that. And while being intelligent about what is happening right now, like many people talk about positive thinking, and they forget about the reality. So we need to look at the reality, Mike, and then look at the reality from a different angle and say, you know what? How could I turn this into an opportunity for me and my family and my community? And so every time we have these kind of major shifts in life, in economy, in the world, new opportunities are created, Mike. And when these new opportunities are created, we are blind spotted. Why? Because we focus way too much on the problem. 80% of our time is spent on the problem. We need to switch that around and spend good solid 20% into the problem and come up with a solution and then focus on the solution. If you have a race car, if like somebody is driving a race car, every moment they are bound to hit a wall. If you look at the wall, you're going to go towards the wall. If you look at the problem, that's where you're going. And instead, you look at the problem for like a microsecond, find out, diagnose, understand intelligently, and then start focusing on solution, Mike.
Do you think, Rubel, that people like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos from Amazon faced their situations along their career where they failed and then picked themselves up and look at them now?
Absolutely. Both of them with specific examples. Like, let's take one example from each of them. So Elon, what happened was 2008, he was basically 2 weeks from bankruptcy. He's like started Tesla 2008, and then he put his $100 million into this at the time. So he made a few hundred million dollars and from PayPal, and he used this money. He's like, I want to start an electric car company at the time. And like the chances of me winning is 10%. So he knew, this is beautiful. It's connecting with the question that Mike asked. Elon knew that there is only 10% chance that he was going to succeed.
Yeah.
He still got into it, right? And he was about to go bankrupt. And then 2 weeks before that, he got a support at the time. And then he built that into a $600 billion company. Jeff Bezos, everybody thought that this was the biggest loser in the world for decades because he was not profitable. In the beginning, he started, and then every year he was losing money. Next year, he was losing money. Next year, he was losing money. And everybody, oh my gosh, this is a company that's losing money all the time. Until recently, right, almost like 5 years ago, there are specific reasons Amazon might not be taking profit. The bottom line is these are the biggest losers in the world in a sense that they were willing to lose so that they could learn and then adapt and refine until they get to where they want to get.
And look at them now. Look at them now. John in Dayton, Ohio, first-time caller. Thanks for calling, John. Good.
George?
Go ahead, John.
George?
Yeah, can you hear me, John?
I like you. Yeah, is this George Norrie?
Yes, sir.
I like your show.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, with independent banks, 1,000 X to the Y at 10 on a time frame of 10 seconds, you get 10 bangs in 10 seconds. It's cash in tax free. It's cash out tax free. It can't be taxed by the government. Independent banks, 2,000 X to Y at 20 on a time frame of 20 minutes on the same idea. It's cash in tax free and cash out tax free. It can't be taxed by the government. That's where money comes from. That's how we make our money.
What do you think of that, Rubel?
Oh, ask me the specific question one more time, John.
On the banks and money. What do you think of that?
So what is going to happen to the banks is banks are going to be the most overvalued companies in the United States. And it's a bold statement. I'll explain what I mean by that. These companies, these Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, and many of these companies, basically, they are going to be not relevant in a decade. Why? Because they have heavy infrastructure investment all over the U.S. They have these buildings where people visit when they need to do a wire transfer sometimes or do a special thing or they have an issue. These are becoming much smaller buildings that one person in a location can handle. So there are companies like, you know, SOFI. There are so many new organizations that are coming in that are reducing the cost and completely managing economy through digital wallet. There are electronic money, electronic dollar, the Bitcoin and everything else. It's creating a new underlying economy that is moving away from this massive infrastructure based society. People don't want to go to bank anymore. I mean, I have visited a bank, I don't know, 8 months ago. and so why do we have this organization spending all the infrastructure and then 17 staff sitting there? It's all going to be automated to reduce cost because we are paying way too much on fees, and that's going to change dramatically between the crypto and new generation banks.
Let's go to Keith in Long Beach, California. Thanks, Keith. Go ahead.
Hey, George, let me get the radio off.
Okay.
How you doing?
Okay, thank you.
Hey, this is a great show tonight. Really good show.
Thank you.
I tried to get in on the last caller, but it was busy. But I got something for this and the next one. But I got hit really hard after I called your show in 2018 and talked to Jimmy Church and Corey Good about a ship I saw. And then literally I met a guy who was an Air Force brat in the marina in Wilmington. And he got into my life and his father came to his boat because he was getting kicked out. And next thing you know, I'm getting kicked out too. And these guys tracked me and even stole off my boat and put me in the hospital and they stole everything out of storage. My insurance company, because it was in my mom's name, wouldn't pay a dime.
Well, let me ask you a question about that, Ruble, based on Keith's situation. When you run into these kinds of obstacles that are out there, how do you overcome them?
So the obstacles of people rejecting us and the tribalism. Let's talk about that. So people want to stay in their tribe. So what is a tribe? There are two types of tribes in the world. One is a sub-tribe and a super-tribe. Sub-tribes are the cult. They're like, oh, you believe what I am saying. You only ask those questions that I ask you to ask. You are going to use the vocabulary of this tribe. And every tribe, whether it is a super-tribe, something that is empowering people, or a sub-tribe that is disempowering people, like a cult or anything else, what it does is it wants to say that, hey, we are the real truth, guys. We are the real truth. We found the real truth, and we know that world is going to end in like 2 weeks or something else is going to happen and we reject everybody else. So we need to understand that in the beginning itself, Keith, and once you understand that, humans are tribal-based people. We want to be part of some tribe. Right? So if you feel like somebody is rejecting you, you create your own super tribe. Find a person who believes what you believe, who is empowering you, who is pushing you to your next level, and somebody who is successful in what you want to be successful at, whether if you want to make more money, find somebody who is wealthier than you. If you want to have better relationship, find somebody who has great relationship and start a tribe of three people. And once you start this tribe, it will become a super tribe. You would start asking questions and start using vocabulary and start believing the beliefs of those people who are successful in that space. So if people are rejecting you, you create your own tribe, George.
And unless you have already compassion and understanding for people and you're just a good person, money is not going to make you happy, will it?
Money is going to amplify your happiness. So Warren Buffett said famously a long time ago, you might think that many rich people are jerks. What he says is, you know, they were jerks before they had money.
Exactly.
So So basically, money amplifies the jerkness in people, right? Money amplifies the quality in people. If you're a charity, a person with kindness and compassion for others, money is going to increase that. If you're a cruel person, the cruelty is going to be increased by money. So money is simply an amplifier of who we are.
Rubel, give out your website, if you would, sir.
Sure. It is rubelchandy.com. It's RubelChandy.com. And if you're a business owner or a self-employed person or somebody who you consider yourself to be a small business person, you could actually download my free productivity training on my website for a few more days for free as a gift for anybody who's listening.
Super. Thank you, Rubel. Good having you on the program. Up next, Dr. Bruce Goldberg and reincarnation.